And welcome back to the Greg Herenda Show, where we do have the king of late night radio, ESPN's co-host of the Freddie and Fitzsimmons show. We have Mr. Freddie Coleman on the Greg Herenda Show. Freddie, what up, man?
What's up, brother Greg? How are you, brother?
That's a good little mix. Kenny, you did nice right there.
Yes, he did.
It's all Freddie, man. I can't take the credit.
DMZ. You are an old school, old soul. And I got a bone to pick with you, Freddie. I got to get it out here in the public.
Uh-oh.
Just this Sacred Heart pioneer blood that's creeped into your... It's like running rampant now. You're doing football, basketball. I think you're like a livery service for Bobby Valentine. I mean, what's up, man? I thought you were from like New York, and now all of a sudden you're getting all preppy and Fairfield-like in Connecticut? What's up?
Well, you know what it is. Anytime you have an opportunity, because you know how much I love college basketball, football,
yep.
And get a chance to do basketball in the NEC, for NEC Front Row for Sacred Heart.
Right.
And I have a long affiliation with Chris O'Connor, who's the SID.
Absolutely.
Back in our Marist College days at Poughkeepsie, New York. So
there you go.
When that opportunity came around to be the color analyst for football and basketball, and everybody's great in the league, everybody's great at Sacred Heart, I'm having a blast having a chance to do that because, you know, even though I'm doing games at Sacred Heart, right. You know NEC is going to run in my blood, my friend.
Oh, man. And it's such a – this year, we're talking on the eve of the conference tournament. This year, from 1-8, and then you can even go – like Danielle had it turned around a little bit late with his squad at Central Connecticut. But you go 1-8 in this tournament – I mean, the first round, you can flip a coin on all four games, man. It's going to be fun.
Yeah, one of the things I said over the past weekend, the NEC should change their name from the Northeast Conference to the Not Easy Conference because there's no such thing as an easy team or an
good.
Easy out. And, Coach, you know that because you could be a team that has struggled early.
Yep.
Then you get hot right time, and then you have a great run through the conference tournament, and you can find yourself in the NCAA tournament. So, I think any coach, any team in this league, they clearly know that if you don't bring your A attitude, you're going to go out there with an L when it's all said and done. And I know every coach knows that in the NEC.
No, it's so true. And, Freddie, you see it up close. And my friends that come – now, I have a lot of Wall Street friends and guys from Seton Hall and Yale and Holy Cross, guys that have been around Division I college basketball. Then they come to the Rothman Center and watch a game, and they're like, this is awesome because you're right on the floor – that the game is faster. The Seton Hall Georgetown game isn't as fast as the LIU FDU game, and it's exciting. There's not a the post presence is less, which means the game is spread out, and it's just and you pay nothing for the ticket. You know, I think our playoff ticket is $10. I mean, it's such. Is it not a bang for your buck, or are people just missing out on it? I know people talk about it, but I just wish we can attract bigger crowds because the games are incredibly entertaining.
You're exactly right, and I think that's going to have to be along the lines of a grassroots situation where we have to do a better job in the NEC of getting young high school kids, male and female, young middle school kids, male and female, have that kids' day where kids will come there and all of a sudden see the quality of basketball.
Right.
Because what you coaches have done in this league, you're not only terrific coaches and teachers, and you better be at this level, but also you're terrific recruiters. You know exactly what to go out and get. And know the kind of styles you have and bring those players to your team. So I think that's why it's such entertaining basketball.
Yes.
Because there are too many good players, and all the bigger schools won't be able to get them. So all of a sudden, whether you have guys transferring to your league or guys saying, I'd rather go there and be a big fish in a small pond and make my name that way.
That's right.
Once you get them on your campus, then the quality of basketball will be there, and the quality of athletes and people are going to be there in the NEC too.
It's so true, and it's affected everyone. The good players that come to our conference, Freddie, the problem is keeping those good players.
And transfer portal thing has got you guys scared for a good reason.
It's nuts. And like it's, you know, with Sacred Heart, it was Kane Broome and the Cat that's at Seton Hall now. I'm drawing a blank on his name. He's a really good lefty guard that left Sacred Heart and went to Seton Hall, and he starts on a team that potentially could be. We had Marcus Towns, who transferred and was started on a Final Four team. Robert Morris has players. The kid Dunn from St. Francis, PA, now is playing for St. John's. And now they're proposing in the spring, Kenny, that a kid could transfer from FDU and go to another Division I school without sitting out. And the only deterrent you have from the kids that transfer is you have to sit out a year. But if these kids can transfer and play right away at a higher level, that's going to be really, really tough, you know, for the schools in our conference. And it's just because, you know, we do a good job, but there are a lot of players out there that can play up, and we have them, and Sacred Heart has them. And what do you think about the transfer, the transfer not sit out, Freddie? What, do you think it'll be like the OK Corral, or are you a supporter of it?
Yeah, here's the deal with that. I don't think it's going to be the OK Corral situation.
Okay.
I think the one thing the coach has to guard against is that you never know who is in a player's ear. And that is something that is the unknown that coaches really can't think about, because you got to worry about 14, 15 other guys on your basketball team and making sure you have a cohesive unit. You can't control if a mom or a dad or an AAU coach or a high school coach is in that kid's ear. Because the one thing you can teach a kid and say, hey, when you come here, you made a commitment to us, we made a commitment to you. Now, if you decide you want to go somewhere else and you think you can be better off in that situation, we can't stop you. But you better realize this. If you're going to transfer away from this school and go somewhere else and play right away, and it's not to your liking, you're going to have a lot of reservation remorse. Say, man, I had it really good at FDU. Why did I decide to do that? So I think more than ever before, coach have to stress the kids, if this situation is good for you, that doesn't mean it's going to be better somewhere else.
That's right.
And if you are going to go to that situation, you better make 100% sure it's going to improve your life and improve your game. If it's a lateral move, then why would you not stay at FDU and continue and not have to start all over again somewhere else?
No, and you hit it on the head. It's the ears that the kids have and the voices that sometimes come from people that, you know, don't have the kids' best interests at heart. And that the player that I blanked on was Quincy McKnight. I mean,
yes.
He went to a really good place, a good fit, and he's doing well. So, and I'm, trust me, I'm all for the betterment of the student athlete on our campuses. And if he can better himself and go to a higher level, who am I to say no? Because guess what happens? You know, I was a junior college coach and got offered a Division III job, and I left. Then I got a Division II offer, and I left. And I got a Division I offer, and I left. So there's got to be some freedom for the player. And if that happens, I tell my staff all the time, now it's our turn just to go get another player. That's our job. It's not, you know, Bill Walton did not play freshman basketball. You know, Lou Alcindor did not play freshman basketball. Back then, man, when you went to a school, you couldn't play as a freshman, and a transfer was like taboo. It was like you were tainted if you tried to transfer. There was something wrong with you. And now it's, you know, it's really changed the game. Tell me about I'm sorry.
Yeah, you use a great word in terms of freedom, not restricting the player.
Yep.
But the player has to understand that just because you have it doesn't mean you should exercise
Amen.
It. It's going to better you. I think too many kids say, well, we can do this now. And then you don't know what situation to go to. And then you harm yourself, because if it's put out there to a coach that you're thinking about leaving, if you're the coach of that kid, you think, okay, why am I going to continue to be vested in this kid when his mind seems to be vested somewhere else?
Freddie, you're an old soul. You love the game. You love the history of the game. When you're doing the game and you see a 3-on-1 break and they kick it out, you have a layup and they kick it out for three, are you already down the road and saying, okay, that's the way the game is played, or do you still have reservations about good shot, bad shot? Give me your take on the way the game is being played. You call games, you watch games, this is your living, evaluating games. What's your take on the way the game is being played today?
Yeah, I don't mind pace and space, but we always know this. If you are strong in the middle or strong being very, very close, your chances of succeeding are going to increase exponentially. So I understand that guys will run the spots, run to the three-point line, or take a three-pointer in transition. But there's always going to be that affinity to me for somebody getting paint touches and getting close to the rim for an easy layup and taking an easier shot from that standpoint. I think you can run 3-on-1 fast breaks. If you have one guy flying in the corner, then the other guy should be running to a front rim alert
Amen.
So you can get there to the front of the rim and draw the defense in. This way the defense so concentrated there, then you get a wide-open kick out. But because so many coaches more than ever and so many players have trained themselves to say, well, we're on the fast break, I'm running to the three-point line. you're always going to still need someone that's going to get their feet to the front of the rim and make it an easier shot and get a dunk or get a layup or get an and one from that situation. So I'm new school enough to understand how the game and how kids want the game to be played.
Right.
And coaches are teaching that. But there's still, you can't tell me there's not room for somebody that can get 18 points and a lot of those game, a lot of those shots are getting to the front of the rim because they're in transition and making easy chances on a fast break.
Amen, man. And you know what? You speak like a true Sacred Heart. Now, that's how Sacred Heart plays. I mean, they've got guys, Kenny, that can score at the rim, make shots. They lost a good player in their point guard, and now they're continuing. They wound up getting a 3 seed, Fred?
Yeah, they're a 3 seed right now. They play Mount St. Mary's.
Yep. And they play Mount St. Mary's, and we just beat Mount St. Mary's down there. Give me your, you know, let's pretend like you're not on the Greg Herenda show, and give me an account of what you see coming in the NEC tournament. And I know you don't have a crystal ball because this thing is wide open, but I want to hear your take on the NEC conference tournament.
Well, if you look at a team like Robert Morris, for example, I call them the Noah's Ark of that league. They have two of everything, and everybody seems to be between 6'3 and 6'9". But they compete so hard on the defensive end because even if you beat that team, it seems like they take years off your life when you have to play that basketball team. I look at a team like St. Francis, and Keith Braxton, he's going to go down as one of the greatest players in the history of the NEC. The only guy to ever get 2,000 points and 1,000 rebounds. But he's the kind of guy, he's so good, Greg, and you know this from scouting him, that he really plays at his speed. And it's very easy for him to speed you up because you're not going to speed him up. But he always seems to get where he wants to go and get the shots for open people and get his own kind of shot where he can free himself up. Then you got your basketball team where when your guards play well, especially Jenkins, for example, when he plays well, everybody seems to feed off of that. Everybody feeds off that guy. And everybody feels better because they think, okay, Jenkins got it now, so now we can do our jobs. You don't have to try to go above our box because he's not playing well. Then you got a team like Sacred Heart. But I look at Kenan LaRose, for example, where he won't get enough all-league votes, but when he plays well, they're a different basketball team. And as good as Anasicki has been and Kareem Ozier, what he's been able to do. But when Kenan LaRose can do what he did last week, where he goes with 21 points, he's 4-5 in the three-point line. But he's also good at rebounding. He's an underrated defender. He can catch and shoot and get into the lane. When he plays well, they're a different basketball team when it comes to Sacred Heart. And I think that's why the league is so wide open. Everybody doesn't play the same. Mount St. Mary's is different from your team.
Yes.
Your team is different from St. Francis. St. Francis is different than Sacred Heart. Sacred Heart is different than Robert Morris.
Yep.
And I think that's what makes the league so fun and so wide open because if you don't bring that A game and you have a little bit of a lack of focus, then an LIU can beat somebody. Mount St. Mary's can beat somebody. It makes the league championship tournament wide open to me.
And it's really fascinating conference because we reseed, Kenny, too. You know, so we will play a game. So now we're playing in the 4-5 game, and you know, the people above you, the 1-8 and the 2-7 and the 3-6. If two of those three teams get upset, you get a home game. So so Freddie, Kenny is our. He's our. I can't call you a PA announcer. You're more than that. You're PA, what are you?
PA/DJ.
He's a D. Yeah, he's a PA. He's a PA DJ, and so we can still get a home game. So when the thing starts, it's just like it becomes. It has a life of its own, and it's really. And I've been, Freddie. You know this. I've been in the Big East, Conference USA, the Patriot League, the MAC. The Ivy League. So I've been in some really good conferences. I've never had more fun. And I shouldn't say that. When I'm going through the battles, they're not fun. But when it's over, and we've won the league 2 out of 4 years, Freddie, that's a hard thing to do. And we won a co-conference championship last year with St. Francis. They're just battles. They're rock fights. So when you're done, you can take a deep breath and enjoy it. But when you're in the middle of it and you do the games, you just see the fight. You know, like the Clark. You know, the Clark. I always mispronounce your guy, the big strong kid from Paramus. That's plays for Akasaki. How do you pronounce his name? Anasaki.
Oh, EJ Anasaki. Mm-hmm.
You know, when those two guys go at it, I mean, come on, man. That's a heavyweight brawl. I mean, it's really competitive.
and then you got a kid like Blackman at St. Francis who, man, when he's loose from three, that's one thing.
Yes.
But then he gets the ball and gets downhill, averaging over 19 points per game.
Yeah.
When you have those kind of two-way players, those kind of back-twitch players, it makes everybody – it alarms the head coach because I say to myself, man, I'd hate to deal with that guy for the next 2 years in this league. But coaches appreciate players like that because of what he brings to the table. Involved in that battle, there's always a great appreciation. And
yes.
I saw that last week. For example, LIU played Sacred Heart. I love Derek Kellogg. Whatever he said to EJ's Anasicki after the game was over, because he wore their behind out in two games, had 22 rebounds in one game and 17 rebounds in another. I don't know what Derek Kellogg said to him, coach, but whatever he said meant the world to EJ.
Yep.
And I've seen that from a lot of coaches in this league.
Yep.
Great appreciation of the opponents, great appreciation of the opposing players. You don't get that too much a lot of times in bigger leagues because there's so much power and so much prestige at stake. But in the NEC, there's always that appreciation. That makes it a fun league.
I love the coaches in our conference because our coaches, now I'm getting old, bro, but our coaches for the most part are young, hardworking, successful, hungry. Because we're not at the top of the food chain, but ultimately – we look at each other in the eyes and shake hands and hug one another because we know we're all in this together. They're not easy jobs. They're hard jobs, but we respect one another. How would you view the coaches individually or collectively in the NEC?
One of the things I've said about the coaches in this league, it can't be easy because you're always dealing with an ego here, a player not getting enough playing time there.
Right.
But the coaches have always been in this league to me.
Yep.
Kids know exactly where they stand. You never have to question, all right, a coach didn't tell me this. Anytime a coach says, hey, this is why I'm doing this, and what the kid does with it is on that kid from that standpoint. How he handles it or how she handles it on the women's side, that's on them.
Yep.
But I get to run into a coach in this conference, male or female, that is not upfront with their players. And the ones that aren't up for their players, they're not going to be around long because you're going to lose your locker room and you lose that credibility. So no matter if you're the Sacred Heart women's coach at Jessica Minetti or you're Greg Herinda, the men's coach at FDU, players never have to question where they stand with their coach because more than ever before, you can ill afford to have a player in her mind and in his mind to say, I'm questioning things here or I'm not clear about things here.
Right.
The minute you have that, then more problems develop. And you know, if you got certain players in your locker room that have the attention of everybody else, then you got to worry about that kind of sea change you have to deal with in addition to coaching these players in basketball.
No, you're so right. It's a very real conference, you know, and I think it's getting more respect. Last year, you know, we won an NCAA game. It was the first game that Fairleigh Dickinson won in the NCAA tournament. So I think the respect factor, I know on the recruiting trails, high school coaches and AAU coaches know, yo, man, they tell their players, this league is no joke. You have to bring it, and if you don't bring it, and I just think you just have to be brutally honest in this day and age, but you have to be, and I'm not going to use the S word, but you have to be a kinder, gentler soul because the way we were coached, Freddie, whatever the coach said at any language with any kind of with any language, we know what we're talking about. You did what the coach said no matter what. And in this day and age, I've learned that you have to relate better to your players. The same thing in the NBA, the same thing in the NFL. Because at the end of the day, I'm learning. Now, this is my 36th year of coaching intercollegiate college basketball. Is that it's a player's game. And now in the NBA, they own the league. It's their association. But in college basketball, it's the players that make – they make the money, and I'm not talking about paying them, but I'm just talking about how I treat our players now in 2020 compared to how, as an assistant, I treated them in 1983, my first college coaching job, is just totally different. Do you see the player-coach relationship changing as much as I do? How do you feel about that relationship, Fred?
I echo what you have to say there, Greg, because the one thing that coaches more than ever before have to realize that if a young man or a young woman does not want to be there, there isn't anything you can say. Or if a young man or young woman has a strong will that they want to do things a certain way, then you got to try to figure that out.
Yep.
But the one thing that hasn't changed, that if you treat players fairly, your best people are going to rise to the top, and the ones that don't want to rise, then you move on from those players.
Yeah.
A buddy of mine used to be a Division II head coach at USC Aiken, and when he first got the job, and now he's an assistant at Rice, Vince Alexander, he said the first year he got there, he knew within the first 10 days what guys were not going to be able to play for him.
That's
and
right.
Sometimes you just got to run people away from your program. And I know a lot of people don't want to hear that when it comes to young people,
right.
But sometimes you can't coach blood out of a stone if that stone is not going to be there for you. And then you have to bring in your own people where everybody's on the same page.
Right.
And there can be plenty of times that players may not want to hear that message, but they understand what the message is all about. They may get tired of hearing the message,
sure.
But they understand what the message is all about. And the quality people are going to tell everybody else, well, we know this works. We know this has been able to work. So why are we going to go against that? When you got chief lieutenants in your locker room that will spread your message and everybody falls in line,
right.
That's 95% of nonsense as a head coach and as an assistant coach
right.
That you don't have to deal with. So it's true. The players have more say-so and more freedom than ever before, but that doesn't mean you can't be fair, and that doesn't mean you can't be honest. And if they don't want to handle honesty, then those are the kind of kids you run out of your program and you bring in somebody that's going to buy into your message.
Freddie, why are you must coach an AAU team. Why are you not coaching?
Because I know what you go through, and no thank you. I don't want any part of that, Greg. I see what you guys and ladies have to go through with parents, with high school coaches,
yep.
With locker room egos, with locker room dynamics. I know no matter what happens, whatever game I'm doing, Greg,
I'm going
to be undefeated and unbeaten. I don't have to worry about such things. Deal with that on and off the basketball court.
No, thank you. Part two, and the clock is ticking. Freddie, why are you not battling Stephen A. Smith, you know, on Fox, just going at him? I mean, I always listen to you as a national voice because I'm driving from Cleveland home, I hear your voice at 11:30 and it gets me through, and then I'll lose the connection in Cleveland, and then the next thing you know, I'm in Buffalo and I'm coming east home. But you're a prime time guy. When is that ascension going to happen, man? Because I'm all in and I'm all about Freddie Coleman.
Well, I appreciate the kind words, and believe me, I enjoy what I do, and I've always been a big believer that when your voice carries, it doesn't matter where you are. If one person is paying attention, or if I'm getting one person home safe to their destination, then as far as I'm concerned, that makes me happy. And I'm in a position right now, Greg, where 99.5% of the people in our business would love to do what I do.
Amen.
So I never had that lack of appreciation. So I love the fact that Stephen A. Smith has been able to get to where he's been and other people like that.
Yep.
I'm not going to begrudge their kind of success because as far as I'm concerned, they've earned that success.
Sure.
But their success is different than mine. And I'm going to make sure I find my happiness because plenty of people in his position and not seeing him, they get that position, but then they're not happy. And I said to myself,
yep.
If I get to that point, if I ever get to that point, am I going to be happy? And if I have any kind of reservations about it, I'd rather stay where I am, where I know I can be happy. And if something happens that can further my name and further my game, then I'm going to be all in doing it on my terms and not on the terms of somebody else.
And that, that is who Freddie Coleman is, baby. He is his own man, a Hudson Valley guy. Transferring
exactly.
The Sacred Heart. I'm coming after you, Freddie. I'm coming out. I'm going to get you to transfer to come down to FDU. You and Tom Green would be tremendous together. And Kenny and Satesh, we got to get you down here for practice. Would you come down on a
you
day off?
You invite me, man. I'll definitely come down for a practice.
I would love to have you in the gym. Freddie, you're not only a great person on radio and on the NEC front row, but you're a great friend and a really, really good dude, and I can't thank you enough for coming on the show today.
And my pleasure. Like I said, when the tournament gets started, whether your team is in it or not, we're going to have you on to talk about the NCAA tournament on my show, okay?
I'm on, my brother. And that was Freddie Coleman on the Greg Herenda Show. And we will be back after this.
This is Bob Lee, and you're listening to the Greg Herenda Show. Where else but right here on WFDU.